Muddy Knees Media.
Hello and welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power. This week, Hearts went a-thumping and Kelly made a killing, but the Staggies couldn't clear the air as United bested Ross County and Clyde won the Bonnie Battle. However, the biggest shock this week was Fort William's first away league win since 2016. Unless you look at Google, in which case they didn't win. Ah, the internet, always getting it, well, wrong, because actually, yeah, Fort William actually did win. They won away from home. I'm Andrew Slaven, and joining me in the studio, a man shocked by nothing, it's JJ Bull of The Telegraph. Hey, JJ.
Hello.
And editor of Copper 90, Finn Marks. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Your first one of 2020.
It is, new decade.
Welcome back. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Yeah, happy to be back.
Good. Let's start off.
Finn did say Happy New Year, though, which I think is too late, the 20th.
Yeah,
well,
you can't.
I'm calling him out on it.
The sentiment remains the same, but this is the first time I've seen you guys this year.
And yeah, but you have to cut it off.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to cut it off at least by, I would say, the 15th.
I think I can't handle the small talk after about the third.
Well, let's start off with talking about Sky Sports, because they made Aberdeen part of the NFL. Did you see this?
Yeah. I did. And I've got to say in their defence that like it's very easy to make these mistakes when you're a producer or something like that on a TV thing. And I don't think for one second you haven't made a mistake like that, Slaven, at BT Sport, have you?
The very first thing I learned in television is an eye for detail. Attention for detail is everything. And the one thing a TV producer hates is graphics. It's a nightmare. But, I mean, there's a big difference from Aberdeen and an American sport.
I wonder how it's going on, because there must be like a short code or something to type in. Like, so it's the 49ers, wasn't it? So
yeah.
Maybe they've typed in a 4 rather than an A.
It was the 49ers. It was Aberdeen instead of the 49ers. It should have been.
Yeah, Green Packers versus them. Weirdly, I mean, no one cares about the two things people in life don't care about. It's your fantasy football information and dreams you've had. But not only am I awful fantasy football, also I dreamt that Aberdeen were playing on Sky in American football 2 days before that came up on
really?
The thing. So in a way, I might have thought that and put it into their minds, the junior producer, whoever who made that.
This was before this happened.
This was before.
Are you giving us a bit of an insight into the recent American takeover and the future for Aberdeen, not just as a football club, but an American football club?
Perhaps.
And hosting NFL games.
But I'm some sort of Nostradamus figure that you should all pay attention to.
Oh my God.
Anyway, well, it's quite funny when these mistakes happen, when, like, when they get the wrong club badge, because it makes people so wound up. Sky don't care about Scottish football at all. Yeah. It's actually just someone who doesn't know anything about Scottish football who is accidentally putting the wrong badge.
I think my favourite one of all time was one where it was an interview with Derek McInnes. I'm pretty sure it was Derek McInnes, but they brought up the lower third of Pep Guardiola.
So I like
read
that.
Into that what you will.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power.
Well, let's get into the Scottish Cup. Let's not predict anything. Let's look back on some stuff. The game of the weekend probably has to be. It is Dundee United 2, Hibs 2. Dundee United coming from behind twice to set up a replay in Edinburgh. Goals coming from, unsurprisingly, Lauren Shankland. And also an absolute lovely finish from Louis Aperi. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Aperi! It is outstanding! And Dundee United level for a second time in this tie! Magnificent from Aperi!
Cancel out Christian Doidge and Martin Boyle. Pretty decent game, this.
It was. Both the Hibs goals I thought were pretty good as well. The build-up play for Doidge's opener, I think, because it was Boyle with a through ball. It was a fantastic little pass through and a great finish as well. And then Boyle took his goal absolutely fantastically when it came as well. It's really good to see him back. I just think he gives something completely different to
he's
to
making
Hibs.
A difference to Hibs
absolutely.
since he's returned.
Boyle's
goals
magic.
And assists.
Shows you it doesn't matter what system you play. It's all about the players that you've got in.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It does matter to a degree. I mean, I don't sound like, I don't know, Graham Souness's dad, but like you do need to have the system in place. But Boyle, yeah, and I love that the way he placed that ball in the bottom corner, because it when anyone lines up a shot from there, you're thinking, oh, what's the point of that? You know you're not going to score. It's not a high enough quality expected goal chance. You shouldn't be doing that. but he proved me wrong.
Yeah, well, I actually thought he was probably too unselfish at times, and that was the time that he wasn't unselfish, and it was an absolute lovely shot. But, I mean, we built this game up as a bit of a measuring stick for Dundee United, and I guess they can hold their heads high, because one thing that Robbie Nielsen said was that when you're in the Championship, even if you're doing really well, there's still that doubt, can you do it against the top teams in the country? And I think today we showed that we can. And it was against, I guess it's that level of intensity at the top level of the Scottish game that maybe some of these players aren't always prepared for, but they match them.
Yeah, I think the difference you get in the step up is better movement, a lot more things are happening on the ball that you might not expect or are not used to, so that you have to affect the way you play. Like, everyone's wondering how Lawrence Shankland would get on. It's always talking about him, but mm-hmm. when he goes to play for Scotland, because it's not that suddenly everyone is 2 feet taller or, you know, 20 miles an hour faster. It's just that there are smarter things that they do that is ingrained with them. It's just sensible. It's just normal, because that's the language that they speak. And I think I agree that Dundee United looked all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming back twice is fine. But then Hibs have come off the back of a break, and that's always a difference. And Dundee United really had something to prove, whereas Hibs are still trying to suss themselves out. But it's, yeah, I mean, sort of not a bad result for either, even though there's a replay.
Well, there was a stat that went out that over half of Hibernian's goals conceded happened in the last 15 minutes or something like that. And Jack Ross said himself, frustrated not to win the game when we've been ahead twice, but there's a lot more positives to take from the game than negatives. So who do you think's happier, Finn?
I'm not too sure. I think it's a really good benchmark for Dundee United to see where they are, because Hibs have kind of got rid of a lot of the inconsistencies and the really poor defending and those terrible results that were happening, where I think they were drawing a lot of games towards the start of the season. And losing goals from winning positions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of continued. I think with Jack Ross, it's a work in progress. I think the arrival of Omeyonga is a really clever one. And I think he'll give them something different in the midfield as well. I think for Dundee United, it doesn't really change an awful lot. I think they're running away with the Championship. I think we all kind of expect them, when they come up, because they will, that they will be not struggling for relegation. They'll be aiming to be a mid-table team, and the likes of Hibs, Kilmarnock, that'll be the benchmark of where they are. So I think to get a draw there, they're kind of like almost on schedule. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for, yeah.
You mentioned Stephen Omeyonga. We got a question from Ross Quinn via Twitter at The Totally Show. Yeah, we do that now, by the way. Yeah, Ross Quinn says, there's been lots of chatter about Omeyonga having 6 months left on his deal. Do the panel think his joining again hints towards a longer-term stay? Also, where will he fit in? As while he's strong, he's still not the defensive midfielder that Hibs require. But I from what I saw of him last season, he was influential in everything that was, or certainly a lot of things that Hibs were good at. And one thing I enjoyed seeing from him as a player is how much he broke up the opposition's play.
That's what he's good at, yeah. I think he's more of a ball-winning midfielder than anything else, but that's what we've been seeing about Hibs all season, is that they lack a bit of bite in the middle of the park, specifically in midfield, where people just go through the middle of them. And he can be one of those midfielders, doesn't have to play every single week, but he gives you an option, he gives you something different. In games where you need to get control of the midfield, he can be someone that is different to Scott Allen or Stevie Mallon, who is, of course, now injured for a wee while, isn't he? Was it 2 months or something he's out?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, but I mean, he could be someone that you sign at the end of his contract, because where's he playing it before? The First Division A in Belgium. Is that the best division?
And he's on loan currently from Genoa. So he was on loan in Belgium from there as well. But he hadn't played as much. I mean, Hibs is the longest he's had a kind of regular game time.
I mean, an exact example of where he would fit in would be that the second goal Dundee United score, because as what's his name? Aperi. Aperi.
That's why I wish the commentator had said a peach from Aperi.
As he comes across,
I don't know why I put an English accent on that. I think that's my go-to.
I guess that's what all commentators sound like. A peach from a Perry! Rooney! As a Perry comes across the box to take a shot from pretty far out, he thinks one of the midfielders should come across to get him. David Gray chases him inside the pitch. Yeah. But there should be a midfielder, I think, coming across to stop it. And that's the kind of thing that some players go by never being appreciated for things they've done off the ball. that are just standing in a certain space because they think someone might go there. And you never know they've done it until your team concedes a goal, and then you strip it apart and go, well, someone should have been there.
I just kind of want to pick up the story that came out when Omeyonga, before he signed, did you see that basically the Hibernian Football Club's Twitter tweeted out something that someone called Saul Goodman, oh man, I do love Better Call Saul, a TV show by the way, said, that's some damn fine police work, Saul, because this guy's came out and basically broken down an Instagram story from Omeyonga to kind of say he has to be going to Edinburgh.
Having recognised the Alps and then calculated the flight time and when that plane left because of the tracking the flight and when it landed, to working out when that would have been published because of when he got a signal in the air. It's magic.
It was amazing work.
And there might be a return for Mark McNulty as well, because there's rumours of him returning to Hibernian. And Omeyonga also tweeted McNulty saying he misses him very much. So maybe something's going to happen there. But look, winners of the replay between Hibs and Dundee United go on to face BSC Glasgow, who beat East Kilbride 3-1 in the Lowland League battle. They're through to the fifth round for the first time, I think, ever, which is especially impressive given that they were only formed in 2014. The Herald went along to BSC dressing room and described what was there. They said, the shirts are up on coat hooks, footless socks are being sorted, and one table looks as if it's been set up for a children's birthday party. There are grapes, slices of watermelon, Haribos, squashies, Dunnix tea cakes, and cartons of Capri Sun arranged appetisingly on it.
Do you see footless socks?
Yeah, footless socks.
The hell is that?
So just around your ankles.
Why?
So it doesn't go over the under the heel of the foot and over the toes.
But why would you wear that?
I don't know. Maybe extra protection for the ankles.
From a sock?
Well, it's I don't know. What would you call it then? What would be your preferred
I don't know.
Name?
That's like a that's like a leg tube.
An ankle warmer.
Ankle warmer.
A leg tube. Oh, JJ, you got any leg tubes? Like now when you're in a dressing room and you just you need tape for your socks or whatever. Oh, you got any leg tubes on you?
Everyone remembers that time you've had that peach of an accumulator looking good only for, oh, and the keeper's let it slip through his legs in the 94th minute. Or the right back has to pull on the gloves and face a penalty. Or Man United have again conceded a late equaliser. But with Paddy Power's Acca Cracker, you get a free bet if one leg of your fourfold plus Acca lets you down on all football matches and all markets. Paddy Power. Max free bet £10. Minimum odds of 1 to 5 on each leg. Online exclusive. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is the Totally Scottish Football Show from Muddy Knees Media.
Three Premiership teams needing confidence boosters got them as Kilmarnock, Hearts and Hamilton scored 16 goals between them, conceding none against Queen's Park, Airdrie and Edinburgh City respectively. Kelly's first goal since November, it was 6 out of 6 assists for Chris Burke that grabbed the headlines here. He said he's not done that since the under-10s. It's apparently a world record. Kilmarnock 6, Queen's Park 0. What do we think of this?
I can't find anything to doubt it's a world record. The highest I can find from a bit of Googling was that Xavi once set up 4 assists.
But we can't trust Google now, remember, because Fort William won and Google said that they didn't.
And
so
our producer Abby says that Vivian Miedema, well, I know she did, Vivian Miedema assisted 4 and scored
6.
Like 6.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Chelsea.
The most I could find was Messi's. Apparently had 5 a couple of times.
Is that right?
In matches.
A couple of times.
A couple of times in matches where Barcelona have won 8-0 or whatever.
I believe that.
I was trying to find, because the one result that made me think, oh, I wonder if there were potentially more than 6 assists there, where around about the turn of the century, I remember Australia beat, I think it was Samoa 31-0 or something in a World Cup qualifier. And one player scored 13 goals, another player scored 8 or whatever. Surely in that match, there must have been one player that had at least 6 assists.
Maybe. Well, Alex Dyer said Burkey got 6 assists and that was outstanding, but there's no bonus for that. Harsh but true.
There was a debut bonus in his contract. So getting that sorted out.
Well, yeah, maybe in his next contract negotiation.
But then that could be to the detriment of the team, because maybe he'd go for the assist rather than the goal, you see.
Maybe.
All these things to consider.
We should mention there was debuts for Harry Bunn and Nicky Kabamba, who both got goals. Kabamba signed from English non-league side Hartlepool. And Harry Bunn was part of the kind of the Bury side that were liquidated in the season. And he's kind of he was in the press just before the game saying he hopes to repay Alex Dyer with the faith that he's shown in him, and obviously he has done that. I know it's Queen's Park, but, and no offence to Queen's Park, but Kilmarnock should be beating Queen's Park.
I don't think that's a good offence to that.
Be a good player.
That's all right.
I have seen Nicky Kabamba play, by the way, quite a few times for Hartlepool.
I watched him in Westcote today. I want to see what you think of him compared to what I've got and see how.
Well, only six goals this season for Hartlepool. I know Hartlepool wanted him in the summer because he was at Portsmouth and they were unsure that they were going to get him because he's got family in Portsmouth and his girlfriend lives and works in Portsmouth. So they were like, oh, family issues, might not. But he did eventually go. But I think at the end, they were quite happy to let him go as well.
Yeah, so none of that came up on Y Scout. I was watching him play football.
Sorry, yeah.
How does he play?
He's a bit of a bumbling centre-forward. He's a big guy. He is your classic, you know, lump it up front and he might do something.
That was quite good. But you reminded me a bit of watching like Cosgrove. A wee bit.
No. Yeah, I mean, six goals he's in the
tall.
National League.
He's tall.
Ain't that great.
No, but then that's a bit of a stramash of a league, isn't it? I mean, it's not a lot of...
It can be, but you can spot the good ones. I feel like I'm giving him a bit of a bad rate up here. No, he may prove me wrong.
You've seen him play 90 minutes. I've seen him play various amounts of time and highlights. So
he's quick and he's strong, but I wouldn't class his finishing as top-notch, put it that way. Good news for Scotland, probably this, because he did make his mark on his Scotland debut. Stuart Findlay's back from injury, and he got two in this game, so that's pretty good news.
Do you know what I just remembered? About an hour ago, Greg Taylor. Remember him? Great move, Greg.
Greg, it's great to have you at Celtic. Welcome along to the club. How do you feel?
Delighted.
Anyway, Stuart Findlay is back. That's good.
Stuart Findlay is back. So, yeah. Hearts 5, Adrian Rains 0. Hearts' first win in 10 matches that saw Daniel Stendel give Stephen Naismith the captain's armband in the week.
I like how you said that, like it was on Sports Sound. You sound a bit like Richard Gordon there.
Really?
You've taken his inflections in his voice.
Oh my God, he's from Aberdeen and I'm not, so that's a bit odd.
It's just inflections in the voice. Oh, well. It's not the actual vowel sounds.
Well, Stephen Naismith duly responded by being captain with a goal at the weekend. I think you couldn't really have named anyone else. It could have been Craig Halkett, I suppose.
I think it's got to be Naismith, isn't it? Even though he doesn't play half their games because he's always...
injured.
Wounded, yeah.
Wounded.
It could potentially have been a bit of an interesting choice, given that Stephen Naismith is kind of the player that he's got rid of a lot, which are very experienced former, you know, English Premier League players, internationalists and all the rest of it. But he's obviously seen something in the way that Stevie Naismith kind of conducts himself, maybe off the pitch in the dressing room or with younger players or whatever. And it was interesting because I think it was kind of evident. It was like, even, I think it was like still 4-0, Stevie Naismith is still, you know, shouting at his teammates, trying to keep them going, to keep the focus, telling them where to be positionally.
And lead by example.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a proper captain. He's basically, I don't know how much he shares in common on his opinion of football with Stendel, but he's must be great for certain managers for how, like, acting as the avatar on the pitch. That guy just snapping at you, always, not always, but never leaving defenders alone, always going. He's older than a lot of players, but he's quicker than a lot of players, and you can see that he's looked after himself. Clearly a great professional, really determined, got the mentality that Hearts need. He's one of the only ones that seems to have. I mean, the boys that they let go have all been whinging and moaning. I mean, it's not great being let go by a club, sure enough. And I feel bad for every bearer getting married and then getting, you know, left out. But
I think on that as well, though, the interesting thing was, especially with the Christophe Bera thing, it just reminded me a bit of Alan Partridge. You know where Alan Partridge goes in to try and beg for a second series of his TV show?
God.
And just before he goes in to do that, he's bought a 5-bedroom house. And Tony Hayes says to him, you know, the BBC doesn't owe you a living. It's kind of the same thing. It's unfortunate, and Stendhal's not doing it because you've got married, but if he sees that you're not what he needs. Mm-hmm. What's the point of keeping you?
I mean, I'm sure Stendhal hasn't enjoyed doing it. It's not like he's going in. I mean, he'll probably be like, oh God, I'm going to come across, if this goes wrong, I'll just be, oh.
He also put the ball in their court and said, nobody spoke to me about this. Obviously, they're unhappy, but they never came back to me and said, no, I want to have another crack or another shot. I want to prove my worth to you a little bit. So
it just sounds so much like, that whole club sounds so much like when, you know, you, let's say you work in like a student bar or something like that, and then and then everyone has like, yeah, and this manager like doesn't know anything, blah blah blah, and you have your own little cliques against them. But then when someone new comes in, I mean, to manage, and then you're all against them because they're changing the things that you like the way you like it. But they're dead right. They're trying to make it more professional, like a better bar. You remember that the good old days, even though you absolutely sucked, that it was a terrible place to go. And I think Stendhal seems to, I like that he's gone in quite ruthlessly and just windmilled people out of the way to lay clear what he wants to do.
So everyone, as we record this podcast, breaking news, but it won't be when you're listening. Hearts have made a signature, Donis Advejai, and I've checked the pronunciation. It should be pronounced Donis Advejai. So there you go. I had read up a little bit about this before the show began. It looks like, and I wonder if Stendhal has a connection through here, because he was on the books at Schalke as a teenager. I think he scored almost 60 goals in just over 50 appearances for like the under-17s. And then he's kind of moved around. He had been tipped for big things in Germany. And he's got a few international caps for Kosovo as well, and a few goals, which I believe were against Malta. So Stendhal has said prior to the signing that he will be dangerous from the wing, as always is the case. How players can adapt to the Scottish footballing style, we don't know, but he's clearly a player that Stendhal has earmarked as an interesting signing and one he wants to get in. Do you guys know anything about him?
Watching him on Y Scout right now. He's a quite tidy player. Inside forward, looks like he's right footed, likes to shoot from range, can spot a through ball. Need to watch him play in a different team. The stuff I'm watching of him at the moment is him playing in Turkey, Trabzonspor.
Yeah, that's where he's came from.
I like to look at it optimistically, and I would hope that the boy turns out to be a good player for Hearts. They need improvements quite a lot of the pitch, and they need players that suit the way Stendhal wants to play. And if he thinks that this good boy can do that for him, then let's see how he gets on.
Well, let's move on to Hamilton, who won 5-0 against League Two side Edinburgh City, their biggest cup win since 1922. Also, good news for Andy Winter, 17-year-old who scored on his debut. Hamilton proving that they are still the breeding ground of some good talent, Finn.
Yeah, I thought he took his goal brilliantly as well. Yeah, Hamilton have got an amazing track record for doing this. It was interesting seeing the way that they played, because I think that's kind of how Brian Rice would like his team to play every week, because they're technically, they've got a lot of very good players, especially the younger players coming through. They're technically always very good. I just think most weeks you have to kind of, sometimes like you were talking earlier on, JJ, you kind of have to sacrifice good football for, do we want to get a point out of this?
Yeah.
And quite a lot of time teams like Hamilton or whatever have to be a bit backs to the wall just to get the results. So yeah. I think it's a great day for their supporters to see their team play that way and score. I think it was five different scorers as well. To get that variety coming through at the team is great. And if there's more young players coming through, if they're anything like, you know, McCarthy, MacArthur, Ferguson, yeah, it's great.
It is such a shame though that, you know, I was so making a point that we wanted to be positive at the start, but there has been some kind of sad news regarding Hamilton that we're not just going to have to talk about the 5-0 thrashing over Edinburgh City, because Monday morning head coach Brian Rice had admitted to breaching betting rules.
He handed himself in, yeah.
He self-reported it, so fair play to him, because he has admitted that he has had a problem in the past. The 56-year-old has been accused of breaching the rules in each season from the 14th of July 2015 to the 15th of October 2019. Rice, who has previously admitted to gambling addiction, faces a hearing on the 30th of January. So yeah, Rice could face a suspension of at least 3 matches and a maximum of 16, plus potentially a £100,000 fine, which is staggering. But there are still some matches to come. We've got Ayr, St Mirren and Aberdeen next. Let's have a look at a few more matches which caught the eye. Ayr United, one of the biggest upsets probably. 1-0 against Premiership. I was going to say Premier League.
Oh, he's made the cardinal error.
Yeah,
cardinal sin. Oh, yeah. God.
Ayr United, 1-0. Ross County being beaten by the Championship side. Stephen Bell getting the only goal.
Kelly takes the corner. Lovely header there. It's in the back of the net. It's Stephen Bell with the goal. Ayr United take the lead here at Somerset Park in the Scottish Cup tie.
Ross County were never going to win the cup anyway, it's fine.
Yeah, but it's great for Ayr United and great for Mark Kerr, who is player manager there now and a Championship manager legend.
He is a Championship manager. I think as far as it goes, of course it is an upset because Ayr are in the division below, but it, really between the teams, from watching the game, there wasn't a huge amount. I didn't think it's just which team's going to take their chances. Ross County had their chances. They didn't take any. So I think Ayr were good value for going through.
Mm-hmm. Somerset Park. I've been there before. It's nice. St Mirren 3, Broxburn Athletic 0. Incredibly, St Mirren had 30 shots on goal in this match, but only 10% in the net, as the Premiership side made hard work of 6th-tier side Broxburn, beating them 3-0. Broxburn manager Brian McNaughton said they did great. 3-0 sounds like a smashing, but St Mirren had all the play. They're a better team, but we stuck at it in the first half especially. When you think it was Tier 1 versus Tier 6, we showed there's a bit of quality further down the chain. Another shout out as well to Broxburn, who go down in history for sadly having the wrong date printed on their shirts. They had the 18th of February 2020 rather than the 18th of January. That is going to be an interesting meeting between the kit man. I don't know who would be in charge of that.
Someone who doesn't want it to anyone to know that it was their idea.
Well, after a stellar performance last week and after JJ begged, we had to get Stephen Hislop, Broxburn assistant manager, back on to discuss how his side almost caused an upset. Hi Steve, how are you? Do you still have all your possessions after you told all of the robbers to go to Broxburn?
Yeah. I think Broxburn escaped not too bad, I think, on Saturday. Yes, I think there was quite a few alarm systems were probably set up, so yeah, I think it was surprising in Broxburn.
I'm sure everyone appreciated that kind of heads up.
I know, I should get some commission for the bugler to the alarm company, to be honest.
So how was it? How was the weekend for you? I know not the result you would have wanted, but some good experience.
It was fantastic. It was a great day out. Great for the club, great for the fans, but it was a long 93 minutes, I can assure you that. It was. Listen, we knew what we were up against. The game plan worked in the first half, and then the legs just kind of went in the second. You know, the first goal, I think, was a bit of a deflection and an own goal, so that didn't really help. And you could actually physically see the boys' heads go down after that. But we battled on. We never, in the grand scheme of things, it was a training ground match for St Mirren. There was a better in every single department, so much so that I said to the goalkeeper at the end, I said, you'll not need to wash your jump, your jersey, because I actually don't think it'll fell over. But the two late goals kind of, it took a wee bit of the shine off it. If it's a finished 1-0, it looks a heck of a lot better. But I mean, the guys just totally ran out of steam, and the goals in the 89th and 91st minute just were a bit disappointing. But listen, what a journey it's been, and they're a credit to themselves. The players, absolutely magnificent.
What was the game plan? I mean, how do you approach a match against like vastly superior opponents? Not saying, you know, it's not a good team you've got, but how do you approach that game? What was the game plan, and is there anything you would do differently if you next time you get a chance?
Not at all. I kind of get a bit hacked off when people say, well, not just you haven't, but a lot of people say, oh, it's a one-off game, you just need to go on attack, why don't you go all out attack? Listen, St Mirren are playing Rangers on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can assure you they will do the exact same tactics as Jim Goodwin has said in the paper. You can't go out all attack. You can maybe do it against a team that's maybe a division or two above, but you're talking an SPL team. If we had went 4-3-3 or whatever, or 4-4-2, we would have got absolutely crucified. The game would have been over by half time.
Yeah.
So the plan was we played like a 5-4-1, and it was defensive. And Jim Goodwin knew we were going to do that. We had to stay in the game as long as possible at 0-0 or even 1-0. So that's what I'm saying. We stayed in the game, half-time 0-0, perfect, game plan's working. We've not had a lot of the ball. They only really had one clear-cut chance, which they probably should have scored, but that was it. You know, we sort of restricted them to shots for distance, and we never had a shot at all in the first half, I don't think. But see, you've got to frustrate these teams. They got booed off the park at half-time, the fans were getting frustrated, and it was working. And even I said to the lads at half-time, even if we go 1-0 down, we're still in the game. We were. The second goal, obviously, in the 89th minute, killed it. We went a bit gung-ho for the last 5 minutes. We had to try and get enough couple of strikers up the park, and that leaves more space, and they exploited it. But nah, would we do anything different? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not at all.
Well, I know you'll go back to league matters now, but before all of that, will you be getting... I hear you're getting new shirts made. Who's responsible for thinking it was February and not January?
Stevie Wonder. I honestly...
You can see the funny side of it.
Yeah, everybody can see the funny side of it, but Brock's, to me, that looks amateurish, and it was just... I don't know whose fault that is. Obviously, when you get things done like that, you probably would have had to get it proofed. Now, they've sent it over. Somebody's had to agree to that. Even the guys who were doing the embroidering must have thought at some point, wait a minute, this can't be right, because Brock's going to play in St Mirren this Saturday. The committee never saw it. It was the players, when the strips were getting hung up on Saturday on the pegs, one of the players noticed it. And it's just, I mean, what can you do? Aye, but you know, listen, we might put an appeal in and see if we can just get the game replayed on the 18th of February. So that's maybe what the match.
Steve Hislop, Broxburn assistant manager there.
One thing that I only just found out this week, I don't know if you guys knew this, but John Obika has scored 2 goals. His cousin is the singer Lamar.
Ah.
I'm wondering if he views...
I know he is a musician. I have never listened to Lamar.
I mean, genuinely, I think it'd be better for me the other way around.
I was just wondering if he views St Mirren's Survival Hopes as 50-50. It's one of his songs.
Oh, that's good.
Very good. I wouldn't know that.
I don't know Lamar. Lemur. I thought it was called Lemur.
Lemur.
That'd be funnier.
He did. Lemur. Song. He had a couple of big songs. If there's any justice,
it's only justice
in the world,
is one of these big ones.
I would be your man. You would be my girl. Do you remember that one?
No.
Oh, well.
Unfortunately, I'm one of those really pretentious people who never listen to like radio or anything current.
Let's move on. Let's talk Aberdeen Dumbarton. Aberdeen won this one 1-0. But kind of news that is more interesting is if Matty Kennedy is going to move in January rather than in the summer, JJ. Do you know what's developing there?
All I know is rumour the club are really good at keeping things secret. To the point where if you talk to the press office, they keep things quiet, nothing's spoken about until it's confirmed. But Matty Kennedy, they have offered Matty Kennedy a contract, which he's verbally agreed to, and now they're trying to work out with St Johnstone whether they can get him in early, which cost a fee. But I think Dave Cormack's put some money into the club, so it might be worth doing. And I mean, he would fit in straight away into that team, plays one of the wide players, that would be great. But you'd certainly see they could do with something, because I mean, Dumbarton managed to keep them quiet for ages, but that was because, I mean, it was two walls of players in front of their own penalty box for the entire game. Aberdeen couldn't really break them down for a while. Although Bruce Anderson missed quite a few chances. Good old Bruce getting a chance now. A lot of Aberdeen fans have wanted him in the team for ages. Now he's there, not taking his chance.
Well, I'm going to stick with the transfer rumour here. What's the rumour on Sam Cosgrove swapping the joys of Aberdeen for the heights of New York City?
Yeah, Bulls. I mean, if I were him, take that the second you can. Like, that would be amazing. But what have they got?
How long has he got left in his contract? You should get some good money for him, surely.
Sam Cosgrove's contract runs until... I can't remember, but I did have this in the article that I wrote on him. I think they've got him for at least a couple of years. Might be, what year is it now? 2020? I think it's 2023.
What do you think, realistically, if Aberdeen were to sell Sam Cosgrove in this window, what would be a fair valuation?
I mean, it depends. That's so hard to answer.
Him.
Who's in for him? What
well, New York,
worth.
New York, MLS.
I don't think Aberdeen would sell him for anything less than 6 to 8, 6 to 8, not 68.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? £6 to £8 million.
Do you know how many goals the boy scored? Like,
yeah, but in the Scottish Premiership, we've had this argument before. It's not an argument, really. It's just it's quite an interesting discussion. But when you kind of label like Alfredo Morelos, you understand why he would be in the tens.
Yeah,
because of the European performances. What, over 20 goals last season? He's probably going to reach that again. Does that make you a £6 to £8 million player in the Scottish Premiership?
I mean, no, but he's 23. I think he's improved rapidly and he's probably got a year of improving before that's pretty much what he is. And I think he has shown that with coaching, he's really developed into a great player. But the thing is that he scores and he has confidence in someone who knows how to score. He's big, which means he suits a lot of different leagues. I mean, who's the all-time top scorer in MLS? Is it not Bradley Phillips?
Bradley Phillips.
Right, Bradley Phillips. I don't believe Bradley Phillips is that much of a better player than Sam Cosgrove. And so you take someone like that in, and he was pleased to play for New York Red Bulls, of course, and that's where he got all his goals.
The thing is that the MLS is a much, much stronger, more competitive league now than it was when
he was
Bradley
playing.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I mean, David Villa was playing there for a while. Yeah. But I mean, this is the thing. So Aberdeen have no need to sell him just now because they can sell him for, if they were going to get $2 million for him, they'd be able to get that in 2 years. Cosgrove, he's scored 11 league goals this season. Six in the Europa League qualifying, three in the League Cup, one in the Scottish Cup now from there. So that puts him at 21 for the season in 27 games. Pretty good in the Premiership. There's not many who've come close to that.
But then you mentioned some that are not in the Premiership. And what is that opposition? I don't know. We could debate about this.
Still scored them. He would cost, I think if Red Bull would take him, I think Aberdeen would accept between £6 and £8 million.
I absolutely loved from this game, by the way, just going back to the Dumbarton game. I don't know if this happens all the time, but for some reason on the highlights, you could hear the stadium announcer after Cosgrove scored his penalty.
Oh, he goes nuts, doesn't he?
He does. It was like it was something from WWE. It was like, scorer number 16, Sam Cosgrove.
I love that, though. Like, you've got to have a bit of drama in football.
Oh, it was brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was my highlight of the game.
All we want to say next is Lee Griffiths. Partick Thistle lost to Celtic 2-1, and Lee Griffiths' celebration to his goal was a little bit interesting. Stuck two fingers in each ear. Finger in each ear.
He did that after Klamala signed this week. Mm-hmm. He put out a tweet where it was a gif of him doing that exact thing with
Klamala.
His eyes closed. After Klamala signed, mm-hmm. Lee Griffiths put a tweet out which was a gif of him from the Celtic Christmas video with his eyes closed and his fingers in his ears.
Mm.
So I think it's...
So it's not to kind of suggest he's not listening to any of the negative talk which has been going around. This was put on Celtic's website. It's every striker's dream to score when given a place in the starting 11. And fair play. I mean, Lee Griffiths is going to get chances if he keeps on scoring. And he's been unlucky this season, I suppose, because of Edouard's performances.
Also, Edouard is an amazing footballer.
He is an amazing
and
footballer.
Anyone getting ahead of him, the Celtic team is going to have to be an amazing footballer. And Lee Griffiths is pretty good.
Celtic will move on in chase of another treble of trophies. They go and face Clyde in the next round, who were winners of the Bonnie and Clyde derby, as it shall forever be known.
Celtic are moving on for
quadruple treble
of trophies
at the moment.
Yes,
which still doesn't sound right.
A quad treble.
I don't know. So let's talk about the fifth round draw. This was the fifth round draw. Aberdeen versus Kilmarnock. Either Arbroath or Falkirk will be at home against Hearts. Ayr United are back at Somerset Park in the Cup against St Johnstone. BSC Glasgow will play either Dundee United or Hibs, which is a pretty sexy tie for them.
At home, good money for them, yeah.
Which we pointed out in the last podcast that BSC Glasgow don't play in Glasgow, they play in Alloa, which is interesting. Clyde will play Celtic, as we've just mentioned. Hamilton will host Rangers. Inverness Cali Thistle will take on Livingston. And St Mirren will play Motherwell, which is a short trip for Motherwell. Don't know why I'm talking like that.
Good for that.
Like Stewie Griffin from Family Guy. Aidan Lanning asks via at the Totally Show, should Scottish Cup replays be scrapped? That's what we want to know.
Let's have a long debate on this. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You want rid of them. Why?
There's just no need.
Why is there no need?
Because penalty shootouts are really fun. Just go extra time and penalties. It's good.
More fun than the replay and the lucrativeness of the likes of BSC Glasgow. If they were having to travel to Dundee United and Hibs, they now have the glamour of a lot of money coming to them.
I don't think there is the same level of glamour from a team like BSC Glasgow playing against... I mean, who they're going to get?
Dundee United or
Dundee United or Hibs. I don't think BSC Glasgow fans have dreamt all their lives that Dundee United might turn up.
I think that's being a bit unfair.
At their unconfirmed stadium.
I think like, a Premiership side, players who are professional players, coming to them.
I think it's good for the players getting to play against a higher standard. But that's part of the cup anyway. I don't know if you need
Finn, what do you think?
I'm with JJ. I wouldn't have them. I think England and Scotland, I think, are the only two countries in the world that still have cup replays. And it's just, especially when there are so many games and there's fixture congestion. I think also, if it's the case where you've got, say, like a team from way down in like Ayrshire or something like that, and they're drawing a team that are from up in the Highlands or something, and then they've got to midweek find a way of getting up there as well. I don't really see the point in it. To your thing about, is it unfair that they're potentially losing out of revenue of a potential replay? I think if it's a small team that goes to a bigger team, say like a Championship or a Premier League team, that's great because they'll get half the gate there. If they are at home, they might lose out in a bit of money by not getting the potential of a replay, but they've got home advantage and they get to invite one of these clubs to their ground, which might, you know, be one of the factors that will help them actually win the game.
And also, if it goes on TV, they make money from that. So
exactly.
There's the ways to do it. And what you could do is just make... stack it so that it suits the smaller club, or they get dibs or something like that. I mean, that's not ever going to be a thing. It's just fixture congestion. There's not... The games get worse when teams are tired and players are tired, and there's too many games. There's too much football.
There's never enough football, JJ. I don't want that to be uttered in this room ever again. All right, so I think we're all in agreement. I agree with both of you. No more draws,
if I'd known
please.
That, I would have gone the
opposite. I would also go on and say, because you mentioned it earlier on as well, no extra time, full time, and then penalties. I believe. I don't think we should have any extra time.
Well,
do you agree?
We've got to have golden goal. Come on.
Oh, we're going to bring that one back.
Yeah,
France 98,
well,
World
think
Cup.
About it. So much more exciting, right? So remember when
the last time it was used.
Remember when you're playing Pro Evo 4, right, at uni, and you're playing against your mates. You don't have a replay. You have a replay. You decide it then and there, and you have extra time than penalties, or golden goal than penalties. You can't do that. That's what they should do in the Scottish Cup. Be really exciting.
I don't think golden goal, but I'd definitely extra time and penalties.
You like extra time?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Why?
I just think it's an extra time winner is better than a winner in 90 minutes, I think.
Well, regardless, we want to get rid of replays. If you disagree, you can always get in touch with us and have an argument with us at the Totally Show.
You can do it in one of our live shows as well.
Well, yeah, we'll get onto that in a little while. So first of all, we're going to find out more and get all the latest odds with our man Lee Price at Paddy Power. Right, I've decided I'm going to climb aboard the Stendal Saloon, and I like the idea of hearing hearts. Scottish Cup winners. What price have you, Lee Price?
I like the sound of that too, but I tell you what I like the sound of more, the odds on it actually happening, and that's 14-1. Pretty chunky. That makes Hearts our fourth favourites in the market to win the Scottish Cup, behind Aberdeen at 12-1, and then the obvious two at the top of the betting. Celtic are marginally ahead of Rangers there, but they're not odds on to win it as they have been for the last God knows how many years. They're 6-4 to win the Scottish Cup this season, ahead of Rangers at 2-1.
Looking ahead to midweek, what's a Kilmarnock 1-0 over Celtic going to get me?
Crikey, you're loving the shocks today, aren't you? And this one would definitely be a giant killing, wouldn't it? I'm not sure that one works. Kilmarnock are 10-1 to beat Celtic, so long enough as it is, with a 1-0 victory rated at 22-1. On the other hand, it might be safer to back the champions for the last 300 years or so, Celtic. They're 1-4 to win this match, and just 4-1 to score at least 4 goals.
And if we were to, you know, fancy Rangers go the rest of January with just wins, how much could I get for that?
You wouldn't get an awful lot, which I know isn't a great thing to say as a bookmaker. Stranraer have already bitten the dust, though, and St Mirren are an almighty 1-14 to meet the same fate at Ibrox on Wednesday, with Rangers 1-4 to then beat Hearts at the weekend. In their final game of the month, they're at home again, Rangers, this time to Ross County, and will be heavily odds on to win that fixture too. So it's fair to say they've got a good chance. In fact, we expect them to do it. It's odds on that Rangers win every game this month. So actually, after all that stick I gave you earlier, your Hearts and Kilmarnock bets don't look so ridiculous just now.
Well, look, I'm going to give Lee a bit more stick back here because he just pronounced Stranraer, Stranraer. That is out of order, Lee.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven and JJ Bull.
Oh, by the way, did you know about our upcoming live shows in March?
I knew.
Yeah, you did.
Because we're going.
Yeah.
We're doing live shows.
You can see me and JJ and some familiar Scottish names and faces live in person in Scotland, the best place in the world. We'll be playing Glasgow Glee Club on Tuesday the 24th of March, and then we're in Aberdeen.
We're playing the Lemon Tree, not the big room, smaller room, but it'd be really nice if everyone could come because it'll fill up and be much more fun. It's a symbiotic thing, these shows. The audience gets what the audience receives, and the performers give back what they receive from the audience. Just come along, it'll be good. Oh, what a great time.
It'll be a good laugh. That's on the following night, Wednesday the 25th of March. And if you want a ticket to be there, it's really, really simple. Just go to thetotallyfootballshow.com/events, click on the one you want to attend, and it will happen. That's thetotallyfootballshow.com/events. We'll see you there. Right, back to the football, everyone. And Wednesday sees the return of Premiership action. Quite a few ties here. Well, it's a full fixture list. Aberdeen against Motherwell, Hibernian, Hamilton Accies, Kilmarnock against Celtic, Livingston, St Johnstone, Rangers, St Mirren, Ross County versus Hearts. And we've got a question again. Gregor Muir asks, how can poor wee Celtic possibly defend against the magic of Chris six assists Burke this weekend? What would tactics guru at JJ Bull suggest beyond just not being a League Two team? I think that's a dig at you.
I don't think it's a dig at anyone. I think it's just a nice, funny question.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, Chris Burke's not going to set up six goals against Celtic, is he? And the entire game's different. So, I mean, do I have to give a serious answer? Like, depends who plays at right back, because Burke tends to play on the left, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can play on the right too, I think, but he tends to be... No, he's normally right winger, is he not?
He's Burke's up on the right.
Yeah, right.
So who plays left
back? Chris Burke's normally on the right, so it depends who plays left back. You could do it a couple of ways. You play someone like Bolingoli, who gets right forward, and then you push Burke back. You have to play a five across the midfield, which is probably what I think Alex Dyer will do. You play a four and a five with one striker, and then you only attack with a striker and two wingers, mm-hmm. and then you make a block in the middle. Or you could sit someone else at left back, like the ghost of Greg Taylor. And then... it's not up to like how Celtic deal with Chris Burke, obviously. It's going to be...
how Kilmarnock deal with Celtic.
Yeah, Kilmarnock offer a threat on the counter-attack. And if it's anyone that deals with Chris Burke, it's less likely to be the full-back. If it's in a dangerous situation, it'll be a centre-back on the counter. But yeah, they wouldn't have... I don't think they have much of a problem.
Can you pick a tie you're interested in here, Finn?
Obviously, the tie of the round for me is going to be Aberdeen-Motherwell, because I think when Aberdeen went to Fir Park earlier in the season, we were expecting quite a close game. I think it was 3-0 to Aberdeen. It was pretty much done and dusted early doors. Motherwell didn't put up much of a fight. I would just love to see Motherwell in the second half of the season really challenge for that third spot. And this will be an interesting one to see how it is. But I'm also really interested to see how Hearts go out of their win at the weekend going up to Dingwall against Ross County. I think that'll be a cracking
Hearts
match.
Hearts are so interesting just now. Look, 5 points adrift at bottom. I mean, this is the one, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they're 8 points adrift of Ross County, for that matter, as well.
I mean, they're in 11th, which is below where the prophecy is foretold. But it could easily upset. I mean, you know how it's going to affect the players and things like that. Hearts need to, well, they should be much, much better in the second half of the season, which means that the bottom two changes, and then St Johnstone and Rangers are coming down. Ross County are one of the teams that Hearts would replace in that danger zone, mm-hmm. if they are to overtake them.
Do you think St Johnstone are out of trouble just yet? I mean, obviously they're not out of trouble.
No, I mean, you know,
do
I
you
think
they
that.
Could get themselves out of trouble with the departure likely of Matty Kennedy potentially going? You know, even if he signs a pre-contract and leaves in the summer, will he play at his best until the end of the season?
Yeah, I'd imagine he's a professional. I've never talked to him, so I don't know. But mm-hmm. I'd imagine Kennedy's not going to just say, well, f*** this, I'm going.
But could there be a mental effect on St Johnstone that could affect them and the team?
I mean, I thought so. Everyone just knows that he needs to move on and gets paid more at Aberdeen. He's got more chance of success and then getting a bigger move off of there. I think everyone in that team would be supportive of him going. I would have thought so. I've never talked to a St Johnstone player either, so I don't know. But the St Johnstone are just not great. They've had better form recently. They did well to beat Morton, and they'll be in amongst the relegation. I mean, they're a bottom six team, so they're going to be there all season.
And what about Rangers against St Mirren then, Finn? Rangers have just been red hot for a long time. They got through that really difficult period in December, you know, against teams kind of at the top half of the table. And then beating Celtic, of course, you know, they want to continue that run of form, and St Mirren looks like a pretty tasty one for them too.
I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. The way that they came through a pretty potentially difficult fixture list through December was really impressive, especially with losing the League Cup final right at the start of it, the way that they were able to get themselves back on and then go to Parkhead and win. I think they were really poor against Stranraer.
Yes, Stephen Gerrard came out and said that a lot of his fringe players again have let him down.
And he said the same thing after they were in Dubai over the winter break, and they played, I think it was Lokomotiv Tashkent from Uzbekistan.
Oh, those guys.
Champions.
Watched them on my scout earlier, yeah.
They beat them quite comfortably, but even after that, I think it was 6-1, Stephen Gerrard said the same thing. He said a lot of the fringe players, some of them have made claims for, you know, pushing for the first team. A lot of them have actually gone the other way. So it's interesting. That game, Nathan Patterson, it'll be interesting. He made his debut and should have been man of the match against Stranraer. But, you know, the sponsor's man of the match was Steve Davis, because the sponsors always want to meet one of the big players. But it'll be interesting to see if he keeps his place for the St Mirren game. I don't think Rangers will have too much trouble against St Mirren at home.
That's it for this week's show. Thanks to JJ, thanks to Finn, and also thanks to the Little Kicks for our sexy theme tune. We'll be back next Tuesday. Well, I won't be back next Tuesday because I'm going to be in Bournemouth. But I think JJ, you might take the helm there.
Burgle's house.
Yeah, Burgle JJ's house. A final thank you to super producer.
So you're going to be in Bournemouth.
Yeah, I know.
Burgling yours.
Yeah, but you'll be here. Anyway, thanks to Abby as well for our awesome producing skills. And from all of us here on the Totally Scottish Football Show, we'll see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Keep up to date with everything across our Totally Football Network at The Totally Show on Twitter. And make sure you check out our brand new website too, thetotallyfootballshow.com.
Hello there, football fan. My name's Lindsay Hooper, and I'm here to tell you about another podcast that just might catch your interest. It's called The Offside Rule WSL Edition, and every week it's me and Kate Borsay talking to a load of former and current footballers, plus those in the know, talk about what's going on in the world of women's football. So if you love your football and want something a little different, then give us a try. It's The Offside Rule WSL Edition, available right now wherever you're listening to this podcast. The Offside Rule WSL Edition, because women's football is for life, not just for every World Cup.
Muddy Knees Media.